Here we go, Jiwoo. The artist who dared to challenge, dared to provoke, none other than Damien Hirst. Treading through the territory of death, desolation, and the fathomless chasms of the human psyche. Gutsy stuff, eh?
To say the least, Andrew, as with his provocative name, this character has always had this shroud of mystery. A fascination with mortality that's simply, it's off the charts.
Yeah, you know, from his wildest installations to the most subtle of his spot paintings, this fascination is a specter that's always haunting his creative space.
That's a great point, Andrew. It's almost as if Hirst is playing with this paradox, the life that fuels creation and the defeat of mortality. It's unnerving, but it's also one of the most powerful narratives you come across in contemporary art.
Right on, Jiwoo. And Hirst is not just playing with this narrative, he's owning it. We have seen how he has waded into controversy, pushing the envelope with his use of materials. Remember the famous shark in formaldehyde, Jiwoo?
Oh, definitely. How can we forget the physical impossibility of death in the mind of someone living, right? But the mystery around Hirst isn't just about his provocative creations. It's also about how he has revolutionized the art scene.
Indeed, Jiwoo. And as we delve deeper into Hirst's world today, we will uncover many more layers of this extraordinary artist. Buckle up. Dealing with Damien means we have to delve into the murky depths of his early influences. He was quite a character even then. So where did this fascination with mortality come from?
Great question, Andrew. Although we don't know much about his personal life, it's documented that Damien Hirst was deeply impacted by the death of his grandmother when was young. Some say this loss led him to his fixation on death and mortality. He wanted to explore this concept, perhaps as a way to understand and cope with it.
Loss does have a way of shaping our psyche, and it seems Hirst channeled this into his career. Now, Jiwoo, do we know how he got onto the YBA, the Young British Artist Movement, his formative phase?
Yes, Andrew. It all began at London's Goldsmiths College, where he studied fine art. He took on an organizing role for the now infamous Frieze Art Exhibition in 1988. This show is considered the launching point of the YBA movement. Hirst and his peers, they were so innovative they kind of pushed the art world off balance. Frieze showed Hirst's ability not only as an artist, but as a curator and showman.
Wow, organizer. Curating his own show at such an early stage. He's certainly got entrepreneurial flair. It's like he was playing chess with death and with the contemporary art scene. It's just fascinating how he turned personal trauma into an art philosophy and carved his niche out there. Isn't it, Jiwoo?
So true, Andrew. He seems to be a master planner in the game of art. His creativity isn't limited to his installations. It shines through how he presented his work and stimulated the art scene during the YBA movement. It's like his fascination with death breathed new life into the contemporary art world.
Damien Hirst, a maverick in his own right, Jiwoo. But his transition to a darker, gothic-themed form of art and the incorporation of morbid materials, wouldn't that be pushing the envelope?
You're right. His involvement with the macabre started to increase dramatically throughout his career. For instance, we see his use of taxidermy animals and human skulls becoming a significant aspect of his artworks. But remember, this controversy is what stirred conversations across the globe and elevated his status in the art world.
Sometimes I guess you have to shake things up to get people talking. Hirst surely knew how to turn heads, huh?
Indeed. The provocative nature of his art has played a major role in capturing the public's attention. Despite the initial shock from the art community and the public, these unconventional materials became a symbol of his distinctive art style and philosophy.
Does the choice of such disturbing materials echo his fascination with death? Or is there more to it?
I'd say it's definitely intertwined with his fascination with mortality. The use of morbid elements serves as a reflection of the fragility of life and the stark reality of death. But of course, interpretation in art is never one-dimensional. Some critics and viewers have interpreted his use of these materials as a commentary on consumer culture and the idea of value.
A layered artist, for sure. It's unsettling yet draws you in. Not everyone's cup of tea, but certainly impactful.
Andrew, when you look at Hirst's work, how central do you think the themes of life and death are in them? And does his apparent obsession with pharmaceuticals regenerate hope, or does it just mirror the inevitability of death?
I strongly believe that Hearst's themes are definitely tied to life and death. Almost every piece of his seems to grapple with this existential dialogue, contrasting the vividness of life with the finality of death. As for his obsession with pharmaceuticals, it's slightly more complex. On one hand, the pills, cabinets, and medical objects he uses invoke the idea of medicine offering the possibility of evading death, a lifeline of sorts.
Yet, on the flip side, isn't it also true that these same objects can represent disease, suffering, and the inevitable decline that accompanies life? These medicines may delay or mask the decay, but in the end, death remains the ultimate, inescapable truth.
Exactly, Jiwoo. This dichotomy within him and his art is simply fascinating. It's almost like Hearst is forcing us to confront our own mortality by embedding this intricate dance between life and death into his art, engaging the viewer in a personal reflection on their own life, death, and what lies in between. Jiwoo, considering Hearst's animal series, what does the physical impossibility of death in the mind of someone living communicate to you?
At first glance, Andrew, it's honestly a bit disturbing. A shark, arguably one of the most dangerous creatures in the sea, floating in this eerie, transparent tank. But then, there's a sense of life frozen in time, like it's leaping out yet helplessly suspended. Hearst manages to stir a juxtaposition of fear and fascination effectively.
Fascinating perspective, Jiwoo. And it hits something crucial. Hearst's daring choice of materials, his use of formaldehyde, aim to preserve life at a standstill. The shark is presented as it is, living in our minds yet physically dead. Isn't that presenting a physical impossibility of death? Life continues somehow, even after it has ended, just in a different form. Memory.
Right. The presentation, the name, and even the choice of animal are thought-provoking. The shark, in this context, represents a threat suspended or nullified, thereby losing its deadly nature while maintaining its ferocious presence. It encapsulates the continuous balance act between life and death that are inherently a part of us.
I see Hearst as a provocateur. He pushes the boundaries by bringing the elements of life and death, normally secluded in antiseptic hospitals or hidden behind grief, openly into the world of art. He's stripping the curtain away, forcing us to confront our mortality head-on. Thoughts, Jiwoo?
I'm more drawn to the idea that Hearst's representation of death signifies a preservation of life, mummifying these terrifying moments in time, encapsulating them in an everlasting stillness. Even while staring death in the face, we're still grounded by life in the here and now.
Jiwoo, don't you think Hearst's art pieces with animal carcasses heightened the already brewing controversy? Mother and child, divided. For example, he cleaved a cow and a calf in half, preserving them individually in two vitrines.
Yes, absurdly enough, Hearst used formaldehyde to effectively petrify life. Although his art is visually arresting, the grotesque reality can be viscerally jarring to the audience. I remember reading about his piece A Thousand Years, which included a rotting cow's head, active flies, and an insect acuter. The public response was polarized. Some found it abhorrent, while others saw it as a brutal confrontation of life's fleeting nature.
The thing is, Jiwoo, if we were to delve deeper into Hearst's thought process, a rotting cow's head and birth and death of flies, it's an inescapable loop of life and death, isn't it? Hearst is indeed pushing the envelope, making some people absolutely uncomfortable, yet striking a chord with others, isn't he?
I understand where you're pointing at, Andrew. The whole idea of disturbing raw reality stirring up visceral reactions, I suppose, validates Hearst's intention to rattle the viewers out of their complacent realities. His art invokes deep-seated existential worries, and maybe that's why it's potent.
Undoubtedly, Jiwoo. Hearst's symbolism is thought-provoking, but there's no denying that his unorthodox methods and materials often place his work under scrutiny and practical concerns. Ethics, especially of using animal carcasses, became a point of contention with animal rights organizations.
And rightfully so, Andrew. Art is subjective and everyone's entitled to their moral boundaries and sensibilities. The entire process of creation then becomes just as, if not more, meaningful than the final product itself, doesn't it?
Exploring life through death, the beauty in Hearst's work is its candid and explicit portrayal of inevitable mortality. He definitely seems unafraid to venture into unfamiliar and uncomfortable territories to narrate his version of truth. Jiwoo, let's now reflect on Hearst's skull encrusted with diamonds, for the love of God. This piece definitely took the controversial discussions about Hearst's work to another level, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, Andrew. A platinum cast of a human skull covered in over 8,000 diamonds, and selling for a staggering amount of $50 million, right? This had certainly stirred a controversy around the valuation of art.
Precisely. Hearst's piece certainly caused ripples when it comes to the pricing in the art world. I mean, who defines the value of art anyway? The creator? The buyer? Or perhaps the intrinsic emotional connection?
That's an intriguing thought, Andrew. Going back to Hearst, at face value, the skull represented mortality like his other works, but its price tag unveiled another layer of intrigue. It might reflect our relentless pursuit of immortality, don't you agree?
I see your point, Jiwoo. By turning death into a luxury commodity, was Hearst commenting on our collective fascination with opulence, even in the face of mortality?
Exactly, Andrew. However, many critics argued that this piece symbolized Hearst's own greed rather than his artistic commentary. It does confront the audience with a thought. Do we now measure the worth of art in monetary terms rather than its emotional resonance?
What an interesting note to ponder on, Jiwoo. That wraps up our section reflecting on Hearst's work, For the Love of God. Now let's move on to our next section. How might Hearst's pieces align with or disrupt the boundary between art and commerce? So, Jiwoo, recall Hearst deciding to bypass the traditional galleries and directly auction his art pieces in 2008 at the Sotheby's Auction House.
Yes, he named the auction Beautiful Inside My Head Forever. It was a groundbreaking moment, wasn't it?
Absolutely. The direct auction of his art, that act in itself, broke tradition. Hearst not just created art, but he changed the way it was sold. What's fascinating is that he managed to earn a staggering $111 million from that auction alone.
The amount does speak of the magnitude of impact that auction had. But Andrew, the amount also raised some eyebrows, didn't it?
You bet. Some critics took shots at him for being overly commercial or commodifying his art. But you know what, Jiwoo? Hearst's approach challenged the norm and brought in a fresh perspective towards selling art, questioning the traditional gallery-dominated model.
True. His act gave a new perspective, that artists can directly interact with their market, potentially reaping the full financial benefit of their work. But at the same time, it sparked debates about the true value and nature of art.
Well, that last part seems to be the essence of Hearst's work, wouldn't you say? Stirring debate, challenging perceptions, and making the audience think. Whether it's his art or his approach to selling it, Hearst never ceased to provoke a reaction, did he?
You couldn't be more accurate, Andrew. Regardless of varying opinions, the impact Hearst made on the contemporary art market with his direct auction move is undeniable. His audacious step has certainly opened up a new approach to selling art while simultaneously driving insightful conversations about the intertwined relationship between art and commerce.
Jiwoo, it's fascinating to see Hearst's unique blend and command over art and commerce, isn't it?
It is, Andrew. When we look objectively, he seems to have mastered the art market unlike any other contemporary artist.
For sure. Hearst has not only created controversial, thought-provoking art, but he's also been astute in making it financially successful. Remember the direct auction we discussed?
Absolutely, a move that reeled in $111 million. That's unheard of. The monetary value he attaches to his art, though controversial, is intriguing. What do you make of it, Andrew?
I find it disruptive yet daring. It's like he's saying, I give you the controversy and you give me the value I deserve for it. Artistic and audacious in a way.
You make an interesting point, Andrew. Do you think this strategy could be replicated successfully by others, or is it unique to Hearst due to his wild concepts?
To me, Hearst's art commercialization feels inextricably linked to his art style and personality. I think it would be tough, maybe even risky, for another artist to pull it off. What are your thoughts, Jiwoo?
I agree, Andrew. Hearst's obscene valuations, his direct auction, the controversies, all seem to have built an aura around him that's impossible to ignore. And ironically, that itself is an art.
Yeah? It's like he's performing this massive meta-art with each controversial move, both inside and outside the gallery, isn't it?
Absolutely. Hirst's success in monetizing contemporary art is a performance in itself.
Damien Hirst, an artist who's bound to leave an indelible mark on contemporary art, wouldn't you agree, Jiwoo?
Indeed he has, Andrew. His audacious conceptual art has been monumental in shaping the narrative of modern expression.
From his controversial materials, pharmaceutical installations to direct auction of his works, Hirst has consistently pushed the envelope, both from an aesthetic and commercial point of view.
Absolutely. And his contributions to the YBA movement have been significant. After graduating Goldsmiths, he was at the center of it all, organizing Freeze, the exhibition that launched the careers of the YBA group.
A cornerstone of the art scene in the 90s, wouldn't you say? Can we imagine present British art without the path paved by Hirst and the YBAs?
Hard to imagine, Andrew. That movement transformed the UK art scene, turned it into what we know today. Art became more accessible, provocative, and was no longer just for the elite. And Hirst was somewhat the ringmaster, creating dialogues and controversies.
Creating dialogues and controversies, a core part of Hirst's legacy indeed, Jiwoo. He brought the underground to the mainstream, trading traditional techniques for gutsy, thought-provoking conversation starters.
Andrew, he arguably influenced a generation of artists. Even though you can't really imitate Hirst, it's more about what he represents. The fusion of art, life, death, and commerce, challenging the norm at every turn, bringing the outrageous into the canvas and the gallery, proving nothing is off-limits in art.
Well summed up, Jiwoo. Hirst's reach extends far beyond the canvas. It's his bold courage to transgress that has impacted modern art the most. He is not just an artist. He is a phenomenon that demands our attention, whether we are comfortable with it or not. So Jiwoo, with all said and done, where does this leave Hirst today in the modern art world?
Today, Hirst's influence pervades contemporary art. His daring imagination and ability to push the status quo continue to inspire many.
And the discussions around his pieces, whether they revolve around the concept of mortality, the use of unusual materials, or the astronomical prices they command, are actually proof of his impact in encouraging artistic debate.
Absolutely. I wouldn't say his methods were conventional by any measure, and it could be argued that his audacious approach to art has transformed contemporary artistic norms into something more provocative.
However, one could also question if his flair for controversy is a deliberate tactic to maintain his relevance and market prices. What are your thoughts on that, Jiwoo?
It's a valid point, Andrew. The aura of controversy has been a marketing tool for many modern artists. However, with Hirst, it's hard to tell where the publicity ends and the genuine artistic intent begins.
That's an intriguing thought. Do you think, though, that Hirst's interest in mortality and his use of disturbing imagery somehow transcends time, maintaining his relevance in the ever-evolving art scene?
It certainly does, Andrew. The themes of life and death are universal, eternal. Any artist who grapples with such weighty subjects is bound to leave a lasting impact. Despite the controversy, Hirst's works continue to hold an undeniable intrigue, captivating audiences and challenging perceptions. His audacious creativity continues to shape modern art perspectives to this day.
We've mostly been discussing the philosophy and reception of Hirst's work so far. But let's not forget the techniques and medium he uses in his art. Hirst's spin painting technique is particularly fascinating to me as an artist. Jiwoo, have you ever seen it in action?
I have, actually. It's an exhilarating spectacle, isn't it? He essentially pours paint onto a rotating circular canvas, creating these swirling, explosive patterns. The interesting part is how he relinquishes some control, letting chance and centrifugal force direct the outcome.
And that's what's quite appealing about it, the unpredictable sense of movement it creates. What about his use of formaldehyde in his installations? That can be off-putting.
Hirst's controversial use of formaldehyde certainly adds an uncomfortably real element to his art, giving it a startling, indomitable presence. It's morbid, yet mesmerizing.
It's meant to preserve life, but in this context, it's associated with death. The irony is striking.
Absolutely. Hirst's formaldehyde pieces give a chilling insight into mortality, aren't they?
It's provocative, to say the least.
Indeed, Andrew. The spin paintings and formaldehyde installations are two contrasting components of Hearst's artistic toolkit, one vibrant and chaotic, the other somber and unnerving. Yet both present thought-provoking reflections on life, death, and everything in between.
Jiwoo, let's delve into Hearst's spot paintings. What's your take on the simplicity of his patterns?
Well, to the untrained eye, they might just seem like simple dots. But when you consider Hearst's fascination with pharmaceuticals and mortality, it becomes clear that there's more to it. Perspective comes into play. The spots might represent pills, cellular structures, or even the cosmos.
That's a fascinating take, Jiwoo. The paintings in this series invoke a sense of endlessness, and it is reminiscent of Hearst's obsession with immortality, right?
Consider this. Death feels like an insurmountable concept for humans. In the same way, the sheer number of spot paintings, over 1,000 of them, plays on the idea of infinity, reflecting our desire for eternity. It's like Hearst's visual representation of the human struggle with the finite nature of life.
Now, let's shift gears a bit. Hearst's evolution from visceral installations to seemingly minimalist paintings, isn't that a massive leap? Or is it just an illusion of departure?
Sometimes an artist's evolution doesn't really mean a radical shift. Hearst's use of simple shapes and colors in his spot paintings could still carry his philosophical musings, just as his complex installations do. His work continues to question our understanding of life and death, no matter the medium.
That's an interesting perspective, Jiwoo. So it is about the metamorphosis of form, not necessarily the substance. Hearst's essence of inquiry, that constant exploration of life's quandaries, still thrives in his art, be it installations or paintings. Hearst's work, it's certainly something, isn't it? It struck me right away when it crossed my path, the sheer audacity of it. The rotting cow's head in 1,000 years simply left me flabbergasted. What do you think, Jiwoo?
To me, the first word that comes to mind is unsettling, Andrew. But in a way, it is also fascinating. His use of morbid materials and life and death theme, it's like a direct challenge to our contemplation of mortality. But when it comes to it, I wouldn't call Hearst's works disturbing, more of thought-provoking.
I see what you're getting at, Jiwoo. You know, in some angles, I'd also regard his works as fearlessly enlightening. It's like Hearst is forcing us to face the harsh realities of life we often dread to acknowledge. Isn't that part of the beauty of art? Showing us life through different, often uncomfortable, lenses.
I believe that's part of why his works have such a profound impact. I know I was deeply affected when I first encountered the physical impossibility of death in the mind of someone living. That's not a reaction you have to every artist, is it?
Not at all, Jiwoo. And I think that's a testament to Hearst's ability to evoke strong emotions. Some may call it disturbing, but his art is a conversation, a contemplation of life, death, and everything in between. It's a confrontation with our deepest fears, and that's something very powerful. Before we wrap this episode on Damien Hearst up, it would be remiss of us not to consider the wider impact he's had, particularly in pop culture. The question is, did his influences reach beyond the canvases of contemporary art?
Without a doubt, Andrew. Take, for instance, the band The Hours. They've used Hearst's spin paintings on their album covers. His iconic spots even appeared in Red Hot Chili Peppers' album, I'm With You.
Wow, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Talk about expanding your influence. That's pretty mainstream. Wasn't there even a reference to his work in an episode of The Simpsons?
Exactly. The episode titled Mom and Pop Art saw Homer Simpson becoming an outsider artist. An amusing nod to Hearst's spot paintings, I'd say. Hearst's morbid fascination seems to have permeated pop culture in a way few could have predicted.
The fashion industry, too, hasn't escaped Hearst's influence. Remember Alexander McQueen's skull scarves? Hearst redesigned them with entomological twist.
Such startling crossover, isn't it? I think it really highlights how Hearst's work, no matter how controversial, has managed to seep into the fabrics of different creative realms. And that, in itself, serves to emphasize his relevancy today.
There's something almost ironic about seeing Hearst's motifs reproduced on products, given his commentary on commercialization of art.
What's more, his interaction with commercial design, mass production, and marketing, it almost feels like he's playing a game with the very themes that underpin his work. It's the perfect blend of provocative intention and commercial reality.
Hirst's work continues to create ripples, from art galleries to TV shows, fashion runways to record albums. His work, marred with controversy, forces us to reckon with our own mortality and the transient nature of life. It's disturbing, provocative, groundbreaking, and clearly unforgettable.
Well, whether we like it or not, there's no shaking off Damien Hirst and the impact he's had on the world. And perhaps that right there is the crux on Hirst's genius. He's got us talking and thinking.
Love him or hate him, Damien Hirst is a force to be reckoned with, and his impact will continue to reverberate through the art world, and evidently, beyond.